I want to start us off with. I want us to think on something for a second. Question is this: is there a difference between the life of faith and life with faith? Is there a difference between the life of faith and life with faith? Now, one, the life of faith is a life led by faith, like driven by faith, like the faith is in the lead, and it's merely a following, and wherever you lead, I will go, and even though I don't get it, I'm going to trust. It's a life of faith. The other merely is life with faith in it. And I worry that for a lot of us, we settle for the life with faith. That we're living our lives and we're going about, we're on our track and we're doing our thing and we have our goals and we have our what we want to see out of our life. And at some point we have this moment with God and we say, God, I want you in my life. And we have our life and then we add faith to it. We just kind of sprinkle on some faith on top of a meal we've already prepared, like sprinkling salt on a meal. And it doesn't really affect our lives all that much. We're still doing everything we were always doing, and we're still on the same path and same everything, but we've just kind of added this component, added this thing we call faith to it. And I worry the consequence of that is that we live ordinary, boring lives that don't look anything different from the lives of our neighbors or people without faith. That too often, Christians, as we live just with faith, it doesn't actually affect our lives all that much. And then our lives just kind of look like everybody else's lives with the same struggles and the same everything. And so this morning, I want to talk about a different way to view faith, a different way to live as a way of kind of unlocking this new way of life, this living the life of faith, being led by faith, following God no matter what. It requires complete courage. It requires trust. It's an adventure. You don't know what's next. And you're out on a limb. You feel like you're out on a limb. And if God doesn't come through, I'm sunk. But that life is an exciting life. It's a purposeful life. It's a rewarding life. And it's life I think we're called to as Christians. As we say we're followers of Jesus, I wonder if the life of faith is really what we're called to more than just life with faith. So this morning, my hope is to for us to just kind of unlock this idea of living by faith, having the life of faith, where we're following God wholeheartedly in that way. And I'm hoping this morning will serve as kind of a catalyst for you, as something that will trigger in you this new way of looking at your faith, and also just kind of how to change paths in this new path of walking, not just with faith, but by faith in the life of faith. Have you ever had a realization that like changed things for you? Like you just all of a sudden you understood something you didn't understand before, and it just changed how you view things or how you do things. Here's a really silly, dumb example, but let me share this with you as far as a realization that changes things. I hate grocery produce bags. You know what I'm talking about? The bags when you go to buy produce and on a roll and you tear them and then you open them and put your produce in them. I cannot open those things. I do the grocery shopping in my family, just how that works with our arrangement. And so every week I dread walking in the produce section because I'm going to have to open those bags. And I pull off a bag and I know all that, you do this and I'm trying to do this and I can't get those things open. And meanwhile, people are zooming in, zooming out. And I'm just standing there. And it's gotten so bad. There's one store I will not enter because their bags are so sealed on both ends that it's so frustrating. Stater Brothers. I won't go into a Stater Brothers anymore because those bags are so terrible. And I got so frustrated in there with those bags. Until one day, I'm there struggling with my bag. I can't get the thing open. And this sweet old lady sent by God, this might be God himself in the form of this little old lady. And she leaned over and said, honey, lick your lips or lick your fingers. And the thing opened right up. And from that moment on, now I can open every bag. I just walk in, open it, and they open right up. That changed my life. This one realization, I realized all this time I've been doing it wrong and been struggling. And that one little, because she lick your fingers, and that opened right up. It changed everything. It unlocked for me produce bags at the grocery store. So my hope for you today is that what we talk about will unlock for you the life of living the life of faith in the same way that licking your fingertips unlocks those grocery store bags. So that's my hope. This morning will serve as a realization, like, oh, wait a second, I didn't see that part of living the life of faith, and maybe that's why my life hasn't looked the way I thought it would. Okay, so this morning, our passage that we're going to be looking at is Joshua chapter 3, that we're going to be seeing the people of God living the life of faith. And in Joshua 3, it's in your bulletin there. We're going to read the whole chapter. What's going on? We're in the series of Joshua. We're looking at the life of Joshua. And he lived a crazy life of faith, just a courageous faith. And so we want that in our own life. So as he followed, we want to see how he followed so closely to God. We want to follow God in that same way and to experience the exciting adventure of walking by faith that we saw in Joshua. So here we have in Joshua 3, God has called the people of Israel, his people, into the promised land. He said, all right, let's go into the promised land. It's a land I promised I was going to give you. It's going to be this land of blessing, it's time to go. And so here we are at the promised land, but the problem is there's a river between them and the promised land. So that's where we find us, all right? I'm calling you over there, but there's a big obstacle in the way first. So that's where we find us this morning, as we're preparing to go by faith into the promised land. All right, Joshua 3, I'm going to read the whole chapter 1 through 17. So, and it's in your bulletin if you're here and have a bulletin. Okay, Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. The Jordan's the river. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 200 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and all the other sites, whatever, right? Verse 11, these are all the people that are living in the promised land before them. See, the Ark of the Covenant is the Lord of all the earth. Will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priest who carries the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot on in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap in a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's pray. God, I pray for understanding this morning. And this won't be human understanding, but understanding from your Spirit. And so, God, I pray that you would speak to us by your word this morning. Grant us understanding. Remove any distractions, whether it be here in our setting or distractions in our own mind running off to other things. And, God, instead, I pray you would reveal yourself through this passage and what it looks like to follow you fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in this passage, Joshua 3, we see this amazing account of a powerful work of God. Like, this is just an amazing miracle that God performs, the parting of the Jordan River so that the people of Israel can walk through, to cross through into the promised land. And so this is a powerful testimony for the people of God. He did the same thing for the Israelites 40 years earlier, the previous generation. He did this in the parting of the Red Sea to kind of give his blessing to the work that was going to be happening. Say, hey, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to show you by doing this Red Sea thing so that you can know I'm with you. He's doing that now for the next generation, 40 years later, for the people of God as they're going into the promised land. So he does this amazing work, and it confirms, like it said in verse 10, that God will be with them in this journey. All right, but this morning, I want to focus on one detail of this miracle, one aspect of this miracle, which I think is absolutely bananas. And I think it's really interesting. And the detail is this. Isn't it interesting that the water of the Jordan did not move one iota until they were standing in the water? Isn't that crazy? Like, so God's plan was to stop it up so they can all walk through, but he waited until they were like splish, splash, flunk into the water, and then he made the water stop up and move the water. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier when they were coming up and they were a few hundred yards out, here's coming, and then God would just like move the water ahead of time? That'd be a lot simpler, right? To like wait as they're getting closer, just then move the water so they can walk through on dry land. He didn't do that. He said, when you guys get up there carrying the ark, I want you to walk kerplunk, splash in the water. And then once they were in the water, that's when he did the amazing miracle. Isn't that something? I think that's interesting and important. And it's important because of this. And this is our central truth this morning. The main thing we're talking about, if you can only hold one thought in your head, this is the thought I want you to hold, okay? This is the one I want you to hold on to, and it's this. The life of faith that we talked about, this life of faith, the life of faith begins with a step of faith. The life of faith begins with a step of faith. Now, you might be thinking, Tom, I don't need this message because I'm already a Christian. You're talking about faith. I don't need to begin the life of faith because I already put my faith in Jesus. Now, remember the distinction I'm talking about when I say the life of faith. I'm not just saying life with faith. I'm talking about a life that's completely trusting and responding, seeking and responding to God continually, following God in this way. This life that's dependent on God, led into scary, purposeful, exciting kingdom work for God. And this is life that, if you're looking at these stories in the Old Testament where God's doing all these amazing things, you may be like, man, I can't relate to any of these people. Like, they got all these crazy stories and stuff they're doing. Well, I want to remind you, their amazing lives of faith, responding to God and doing this amazing stuff, all begin with a step of faith, like in this situation. So for Israel, in this, when they come up to the Jordan, think of the faith it required to take that step. So they get before, they walk up to the river, and the river's flowing, and it's doing its thing. And they could be, okay, now what? What do we do? We're here. But they were so confident that God was going to do something, they went, splash, and went ahead and stepped in. Stepped right into the river. And what would ultimately be this dangerous path of faith, where they're going to be coming up against all these different nations and armies and fortified cities, and this was just the beginning of a long journey, it began with this first step of faith. So before all that became this very first step of faith, of stepping into that river. Now again, God could have moved that water before they got there. He could have stopped it all up so they could just walk across on dry land, but he didn't. He made them step out into the Jordan first. And I think that was important because he knew they needed this step of faith if they're going to do a journey of faith. To walk this path of faith, the life of faith, they needed to first take this individual step of faith. And I think this is interesting and important because we need to realize in our own life of faith, we need to get our feet wet. How many of us are standing on the shore saying, God, once you do something, then I'll move. Once you stop up that thing and make this easy, then I'll go. I'm here. I'm ready. I believe in you. I'm ready to take a step. Now just do that thing. Take all the obstacles. Get rid of that obstacle. And then I'll go do that, right? Then I'll take that step. And we're waiting for all this to happen. Oh, hey, Bo. Waiting for all this to happen, waiting for everything to line up, waiting for the world to make sense, waiting for the steps to be laid out before you, waiting for God to get rid of all that stuff and then say, God, once you do that, then I'll take that step. But how much faith is there in that? When say, God, once you take care of all that, then I'll respond by taking a step. Maybe God's been leading you. You've been feeling God leading you to do something, to take a step for him, and you're just waiting for the perfect time when everything's going to work out. And God, if you, then I'll do that. So this story deals with a misconception I think we as Americans have about the life of faith and the call of God. And I think it's the right thought, but we have put the wrong, take the wrong conclusion from the thought. I think in America, we think if it's really God, then everything will add up. if this is really God telling me to do this, he's going to make sure everything lines up for me. We have the phrase, where God guides, God provides. So if it's really God guiding, then he'll provide. And I think that's true. I mean, it's not a Bible verse, but it's a biblical concept. So I think that's mostly true. But then what we do is we say, well, where God guides, God provides. And then what we do is we say, okay, well, if this is really you, God, then go ahead and provide right now before I start. Like, if you're calling me to do this, then I want you to first then show it by meeting, by providing everything I'll need to make this thing happen. So do it, and then I'll step out. But here's the issue. Yes, it's true. God, where God guides, he provides. I believe that 100% true. But here's where we're wrong. Typically, at least how I've seen it in my life, where God guides, he provides eventually. Where God guides, he provides later. Where God guides, he provides after I step out. But in the moment of the God's guiding, it sure looks bleak. It looks like, oh man, how's this gonna work? Standing at the water's edge and say, I don't wanna, these are my new sandals. I don't wanna step into the water, right? And wanting God to do this before I take that step. So that's the thing about a step of faith. It requires courage. It requires trust. It requires, okay, God, if it's not you, I'm sunk. In my own life, every time God has asked me to do something major, like big, he has always provided in over-the-top, garish ways. Like whenever he's asked me to step out in uncomfortable ways, God has always provided. But it was always after I said yes. It was never before I said yes. At the time, it looked hopeless. It looked impossible. But I felt like God was asking me to do this thing. So when God asked me to move down to Southern California, I grew up in Washington. I have a finance degree from University of Washington. I was working in a Fortune 500 company, doing well, wearing a suit and tie every day. And God called me in a very loud, clear way to leave that, to come down to Southern California to devote myself to ministry, to give myself to that. So that's a really hard thing. But God was making it very clear that he wanted me to do that. And when he said, I want you to do that, there was no job. There was no place to live. There was nothing, no friend. I didn't know anybody. And yet God says, I want you to do this. And so when I took that, when I said yes, it's like, oh boy, I didn't have any of those things. But then after I did it, then God took care of everything and blessed me in mighty ways, powerful ways. I would never look back and want to change a thing. But I can tell you, if I was waiting for God to provide the job and the place to live, and I'd still be wearing that same suit and tie up in Seattle, not knowing any of you wonderful people, and probably kind of miserable. When God asked me to go into full-time ministry, so at that time I was just volunteering in ministry and working other jobs, and when God asked me to go in full-time ministry, there was no promised salary. I would have had to I had to raise support. I didn't know where the money was going to come from, but I felt like God was asking me to do it. And when God was asking me to do it, he didn't show where the money was going to come from. And so I said, all right, God, let's do it. Yes, step out. I don't know how this is going to work. And then, of course, all the support came in. All the money that I needed came in, and it was all fine, and God provided. But God provided after the step of faith. Even moving here to plant a church in Long Beach 16 years ago, feels like yesterday, leaving an established church with a church budget and church family and all that to come to a new city that I don't know anybody and start a church that I don't have. So there's no money, there's no building, there's no people, there's nothing except for the call of God. That's a hard step to take. God asked me to make that step. I was like, I don't know, God. I don't see how it's going to work, but here we go. And now, I mean, here we are 16 years later, and we're still meeting City Lights Church and the church family and all you people that mean so much to me. God's provided all along the way. But again, these have all been provided after the step of faith. So the reason I share all this is if you're standing at the water's edge then, and you're feeling the call of God to take a step towards in some sort of kingdom way in your life, and I don't know what that looks like for you, but I think you probably do, and you're waiting for him to take away the obstacles, to make it easy, to show that it's going to work, you're going to stand on that shore until your funeral. Like, how this works, the path of faith, the life of faith, begins with that step of faith. Oh boy, here I go. Okay, so what's involved in that courageous first step? Well, let's go through these real fast. Three things from this passage that are involved in that courageous first step of faith. All right, I take that step. First, okay, a courageous first step of faith follows God, not the other way around. That courageous first step of faith, it follows God, not the other way around. This poses the question, are we following God or are we asking God to follow us? Are we following God or are we asking God to follow us? So in this situation, notice the positioning throughout the story of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to represent the presence of God. Now, he didn't live in that box, but that for the people of God, that was representing the presence of God. And so they made it very clear. Verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so when you see God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Where it goes, you go. You follow that Ark, right? Because it represents the presence of God. And so, again, this poses a question for us. Are we following God, or are we asking God to follow us? So the point of this message isn't, hey, that big step you want in your life, that thing you really wish you could do, go ahead and just do it. And when you take that step, then God will be there to meet you in that moment, and you could do that thing that you really want to do. That's not what this is. That's you going first and asking God to follow along and bless me along the way. That's not what this is. This is following God. So when God's asking you to take a step, and I don't know if I can follow you there, God, this gives us the courage to say yes, follow him. Okay, but here's the thing for a lot of us then. Okay, Tom, but how do I know if this is God's leading or my leading? Like, how do I know if this is God, if God's telling me to take this step or if this is me? Like, if I'm following God or asking God to follow me, how do I know if this is really God or if this is me? Well, two principles for my own life. One, if it's God, it'll be consistent with kingdom principles. We know God. We know the Bible tells us the sheep will know his voice, the good shepherd. We know his voice from this word, right? And when we understand what he's about, when he calls us into things, it'll be consistent with kingdom principles. It won't be something that's just different. It's going to be something found in Scripture. It's going to be these kingdom principles you're going to see. It's going to be something greater than yourself in it. So first, it's going to be consistent with kingdom principles if it's God. And two, if it's something that I don't want to do, then I know it's not from me, and therefore it's probably from God. Because when God called me to do each one of those steps, I knew it wasn't from me because I didn't want to do any one of these things. Any of those times, I wasn't on board for that. I wanted comfortable, safe, easy. And so we know ourselves well enough that when God asks us to do, when there's that thought in your head, that moving on your heart, you know yourself well enough to know, is that you that wants that? Is that just you? Or is it something greater? And if it's something that you don't want, it's probably from God, honestly, because that's, because it's not from ourselves. So it's important that we need to, in order to hear from God, we need to be following God closely to recognize these calls. We need to be listening to God, hearing from God, so when he's calling us into that. So as we follow God, we need to follow him closely if we're going to take this courageous first step of faith. Second, this first step of faith focuses on God, not on the circumstances. So the second thing that's involved in following the step, focusing on God, not on the circumstances. So why did this Israelite step out into the water? Because God told them he was giving them the promised land, the land of Canaan. He already said he's going to do it. So the circumstances they were facing, river in front of them, that was a circumstance. So they'd focus on the circumstances. Well, guess that didn't happen. Thought that was going to happen. I thought God was going to give us the land of Canaan, but here's this river. I will just wait. That's what circumstances would say. And when it says river, we might be picturing like, as wide as this, like a wide as this lot. But the Jordan River during harvest time, it said it was during harvest, it goes to quarter mile wide. So the river, if you were walking from Lime Avenue, you'd have to walk to Long Beach Boulevard before you cross the river. Like if the river, the one edge was here, Lime, you'd have to go Lime, Atlantic, was it Linden, Elm, Long Beach Boulevard. That's how far you'd walk to cross it. So this is a big river. This ain't no joke. This isn't a stream. This isn't a, oh, there's a log that fell over it, we can cross. No, this is long. This is a big deal. This is a big circumstance that they're coming up against. So that was a circumstance, but they weren't focused on that. They were focused on God's leading. He said, this is the land I'm giving you. And so this goes back to the opening message we had in this series about being willing to follow God despite the obstacles to experience God's blessing. And 40 years previously, the people of Israel weren't able to follow God, and they missed out on the blessing of God. So now they've learned from that mistake. God's been preparing them for 40 years to step into that water, and they did it when the time came. And they were so confident in verse 5. It says, tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I don't think they even had a full picture of what it was going to be, but like, God's going to do something awesome. Let's do this. What a great perspective. Focusing on God, not on the circumstances. So for us, if God's called us to do something, if we're confident, no, this is God. God's asking me to do this thing. Well, that's enough. Because he's proven he could be trusted, right? Has he proven that in your life? He's proven that he has your best in mind. He'll take care of you. When I know God's calling me to do something, and I look at the circumstances and think, no way, that can't happen. How could this happen? Well, that means I need to focus more on God's leading, what God is saying, rather than what those circumstances are. All right, so focus on God, not on circumstances. And the third one, the final from this passage, courageous step of faith, remains in the presence of God. Remains in the presence of God. This passage goes out of its way to communicate this, that this is all accomplished, this whole miracle that they experienced, this amazing step of faith, and they saw God work. It was all done by God. It's very clear in this that he did it. Because again, the Ark of the Covenant signifies God's presence, right? The Ark of the Covenant is God's presence with his people. And it says that as they stepped into the water with the ark, with the presence of God, when they're in, that's when the water stopped. And then they stood in the middle with the ark, and the water stayed. And then chapter 4, the next chapter, says when they stepped out of the water with the ark, then the water flowed again. All dependent on the Ark of the Covenant being in the water. Now, we know God's power wasn't limited by where the box was. It's not like God's going, oh boy, I hope they put the box in the right place, or this is not happening. Like, it wasn't limited by where the, it didn't need to be there. But is it possible God was making a point? For this to happen, I got to be right there with you. Don't leave me behind. Don't take me ahead. I got to be right there. This is the presence of God. All of that was accomplished by God's presence. So we must all be walking closely with God to be confident in his presence with us. That we must stay in the presence of God as we do this. If you're going to take that step of faith, it's important that we walk and remain in the presence of God. So to say yes, even when the circumstances are crazy, we must be confident, no, God is with me. That's why this is going to be okay. Like in Joshua chapter 1 from a couple weeks ago, I can follow God with strength and courage because he is with me. So what does that mean for us? This means for you and I, we need to be doing the necessary things to be communing with God, to staying in the presence of God. Now, we know God's everywhere, and you're never away from God, but boy, it sure feels like it sometimes. Even though God's right here, it's not that hard to go this way and forget he's there and start looking the other direction. To be reminded of God's presence and walk hand in hand with your Heavenly Father, slip your hand into his, and to walk in trust and obedience with him in that way. We do this through Bible study, prayer, talking with him, setting our mind on him and his presence with us. And these aren't just, somehow we got get it wrong that all those things, prayer, Bible study, all that stuff, we do that because we're supposed to, like that's on the supposed to list, and oh yeah, I'm supposed to do that. So I got, no, it's not even, we don't do it because you're supposed to, do it because that's how we experience the presence of God. And as we do that, we walk closer with God and we commune with him, and he starts leaning on our hearts and leaning on our minds and leading us down new exciting paths. And those are those times we can say yes to him and stepping out in faith. And again, chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua's so confident in God, he's like, he's going to do something awesome today. I don't know what it's going to be, but you guys are going to love it. It's going to be great. All right. So in conclusion, man, as your pastor, I want God's best for you. I want an exciting life of adventure for you by faith. A life that when you wake up in the morning, say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be exciting. And a life that maybe has those nervous trepidations like, oh God, if you don't come through, I'm really sunk. But also a life of purpose and joy and fulfillment, seeing God come through over and over again. The best thing about my job is I feel like, I tell people all the time, I got a front row seat to see God work. Like God working in all and everybody and seeing God working you people and working in me and working in all. It's so exciting to see God work. But if we never get out of our comfort zone, never step out, never lean on him and trust him in that way, we don't see him work, and then we're just like, well, God doesn't do those sort of things anymore, and that's not what it's like living in Long Beach, and all of a sudden our lives are boring and ordinary and like everybody else's. And maybe it's not supposed to be that way. So my encouragement to you, man, take that first step of faith. No more paralysis by analysis. Oh, once this all works out, then I'll take that step for God. No, if God's asking you to do something, let's step out and do it. And don't be stupid. If God's asking you to do something, gives you a reason to do what you want to do in building your own kingdom. And this is for kingdom work. If God's asking you to make a move, trust him, do it, step out. Maybe start that conversation with that person you've been nervous about starting that conversation with. Maybe it's something with your job. Maybe it's something in your community. Maybe it's something in your own personal life that you need to address. I don't know what it looks like for you, but take that step of faith. Now, how God's been leaning on you to do that, man, experience the joy of obedience to saying yes and watch what God's going to do. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you promise an abundant life, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of fulfillment, a life of purpose. But God, we confess we often settle for less. We settle for our own version where we're safe and comfortable, but still struggle. And so, God, I pray by your Spirit, you would lead each one of us down the path you have for us. God, please, by grace, speak loudly. Give us understanding. Give us clarity. And then, God, give us courage to say yes in that first step, so we can take that first step in following you and walking by faith, living the life of faith for you. I'm so excited to see where you're going to lead. We're going to lead our church. We're going to lead each of us individually and together. Thank you for leading like you do and being so gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen.